the latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit.
Kia ora, g'day and good evening. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. Tonight we will be covering all of the rugby, both here and down under. And joining me in the studio tonight, the bro man is back. Yes, he's back. And look at him, he's beaming from cheek to cheek. Look at him, he's so happy. Ryan Sparks, aka Bro Ryan. And also, we're also in the company of the sex god that is Robert Russell Parker. Now, a major talking point this evening will be the England versus New Zealand game this weekend. So we've grabbed a hold of a former England and Great Britain international, once again, that man, Leon Price, for tonight's discussions. We'll also be hearing from some of the England boys on the try that never was. And if you want to share your views, get in touch through the website at pulse1.co.uk or use Twitter and hashtag RHP Show. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Does he get a finger on it?
If he gets a finger on it and there's downward pressure, I think that's a try. That's right. The finger goes down there.
I don't know that you can call it downward pressure, and I think that's what's got our referees concerned at the moment.
If he has a finger and there's downward pressure from one finger, Rabs, isn't that a try?
No try.
No try. Was it a try? No try. Yes, it was a try. No, it wasn't a try. At the end of the day, we'll discuss that later on in the show. Look, normally what we've done before in the past, no, we are going to get to it. Look at them. They're both biting at the bit. Before we go any further, I'm going to bring him right in from the start. He's a former Great Britain and England international, Super League star. He starred for the Catalan Dragon, Bradford Bulls, St. Helens. He's off to join Hull FC. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, boys and girls in the studio, the massive gallery that we do have here. Put your hands together and welcome back the man, the Prince of Bradford, Leon Price.
Evening all. Happy Bonfire Night. Nice to be here. Thank you.
It is Bonfire Night. And actually, before we get back into the try that wasn't, or it was. The reason why I was giggling during the weather was because of how cold it's dropped. Remember this time last week? It was like 17, 18 degrees Celsius, even at this time of night. And what it's going down to, we're going to have minus two. Then. Tomorrow night, what are we doing?
We're actually camping out, aren't we? We're raising some money for...
No, camping out would suggest that we've got a tent above us. We're sleeping rough, yeah.
So we're out to do raise some money for Centre Point, the local Bradford charity, to raise some awareness for some people that sleep rough and the 16 to 24 year olds in Bradford. So it's going to be cold. Yeah, I've definitely I knew this time was coming. You see, so
and the thing
I've
is,
put an extra layer of fat on these last couple of months, which you keep ribbing me about as well.
Leon, come and have a pull of this.
Get off me. So I'm gonna obviously wait till get to tomorrow out of the way, and then obviously I'm trimming down.
You're just gonna lean up and get.
I'm gonna
ripped.
Have a couple of fresh air butties.
Okay, well if that's what you've done, Ryan, what's your excuse?
For what, the sleep out?
No, the extra layers.
Whoa. I'm in shape.
Ripped.
Yeah, as long as your shape's a square
and soft.
Oblong.
He's oblong. Okay. Big occasion for us tomorrow night, obviously, because we all know that it's the Providence Stadium odds so is colder than any other place on the planet. Sleeping on the cold concrete, and it's going to be very, very cold.
I'm after a sleeping bag, so can someone please donate a sleeping bag to me, please?
Need one that can take the big ears as well.
Yeah, maybe get a 3-man tent instead then.
Rugby league. Obviously, the big talking point over the course of the weekend was England narrowly losing to Australia, 16 points to 12 in Melbourne. Was it a try? Wasn't it a try? I mean, you heard from the Australian. I mean, I want to hear from all of you. Was it a try? Heard from the Australian commentators there. A lot of them were actually saying, well, shouldn't that be a try? Now, the referee, was it Jeremy Sutton? Sutton, whatever his name is. His reason.
Good Australian bloke.
His reason for why it wasn't a try was he said the ball was ascending northwards. Basically, it was bouncing up. And for those of us that watch it, for me, I don't agree. I think there was a poor call.
I think on these occasions, I mean, I'll be honest and say I missed the try. Excuse me. But if you speak to all people within the game, all the people that have watched it, if it's a decision, it's quite contentious. Sometimes you get different views from all points. But on this occasion, I've not spoken to anybody who says it wasn't a try. Every single person, fans, people within the game, everybody I've spoken to said it's a try. So to me, surely it must have been a try.
Except for the referee. Yeah, what are your guys' thoughts on it?
Yeah, mate, it was 100% a try. You know, he had downward pressure, and we've heard the kind of the audio there. You know, he had a finger on it. You only have to have, you know, a millimetre of a fingernail on it.
A fingernail.
Any kind of upper part of the body. But what about if it was, you know, England against New Zealand? Would you have still said that was a try, Robbie?
Well, that's not. We're not discussing that. So
no,
moving quickly along.
Let's try to be unbiased.
I'll play devil's advocate and said we should never have been in that position where we needed that try.
It doesn't matter though, does it?
Yeah. Whether it matters or not,
it's a big deal. It's a big deal to beat Australia in Australia. Is a big deal.
Actually,
so it's very important.
And actually, you were a part of the last Great Britain. Well, it was Great Britain at the time. Team that actually won on Australian soil. When 2006?
Yeah, 2006. Yeah.
Where was it? In Sydney.
In Sydney.
What was it like to beat Aussie on their home ground?
Easily the best feeling in the world I've ever had in my game. I mean, we've been in Australia all week. We've been hammered by the press. You know, Collins, pom me this, pom me that, just destroying us. You know, week after week, just smashing us all the time. And then to give them a bit back in press, and then go back on their home turf and beat them on their own ground for the first time. About 20 years.
So what would it have meant to the English boys?
It would have been massive. It would have been an occasion that they looked back in the career that would have been one of the best moments of the career, without a shadow of a doubt, because it doesn't happen very often.
Leon, do you even think, you know, with your kind of success with all the Grand Finals and Challenge Cup, even beating the Aussies, is that the pinnacle for you, do you think?
I think so, yeah. It's up there, one of the best, yeah. In Australia, obviously we've beaten them here before in England, but to beat Australia in Australia doesn't happen very often, so that's why it was such a big call, because it's history, really.
To be honest, so looking at it, even if I was to put my bias call aside and say, yeah, if it was against New Zealand, I would have to have said it was a try. Actually, looking, what I found was funny with Tim Sheens, Cameron Smith, after the game in the post-match interviews, none of them said anything about the letter of the law, or none of them either said that wasn't a try.
Yeah.
What they said was excuses, whatever you want to call them. Well, he didn't celebrate. They didn't get up and celebrate. Well, that's got nothing to do with whether or not it's a try. Ryan
it's
Hall.
It's not cricket, though, is it? You know, where you kind of, hey, every time there's a little nip on anything, or, you know, any kind of ricochet and stuff. So that's not our game.
Yeah, and the thing that gets me, the thing that really got my goat, I guess, during the game, was the explanation that was given. It said the ball was travelling north. It doesn't matter. If the ball's bouncing along, let's say a grubber kick is in goal, and it bounces up, if you put your hand on it and push it back towards
pressure,
the ground,
it's a try.
I think another thing that needs to be taken into account, if you look at the trajectory of the ball, when the finger goes down, the ball's back end bounces higher than it would naturally have done. And that means there was concerted downward pressure. Now, all of us that have played the game at the highest level know what, when you're going into contact like that and you're diving through, you're just chucking your hands in, aren't you?
Yeah.
And if you hit it, you hit it. If you don't,
Exactly. You don't,
and a lot of the time you don't know if you're touching skin, you're touching ball, or you're touching grass.
How much pressure do you think the video referee was under, knowing that basically Australia, if they gave that try,
was an Australian,
hey, it was an Australian.
They already lost
the game before against the Kiwis.
Okay, well,
what happens if he disallows it? If he gives a try, basically Australia.
Well, if he gives the try, it's the first time they missed a major final for 60 years.
There you go, then. Thank you very much.
Test to England and New Zealand. Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying that's the reason why, but it's got to be looked at, hasn't it?
Plus, he would have been able to move out of Australia.
It's getting heated in here. Can you feel the heat?
Well, to be fair, I think it's been quite good, because we probably wouldn't have had a load to fill. We've had to start filling your show with some songs, wouldn't we? So I think it's been a good thing, really, that all this contention's
happened.
Why
do you think
happened?
We invited you on here? We just wind you up and let you go.
I thought it was just for the good looks.
It definitely was. It was.
No worries.
Okay, first half, let's have a look at the game in a little bit more detail. Your thoughts on England's performance in the first half. I thought that was outstanding.
It was a good performance, and to be fair, I thought Australia well beaten, so I was disappointed to see a couple of tactical switches that seemed to weaken England, and then almost like, oh, hang on a minute, we haven't won this one, have we? And no, you know, it does take some, as I'm sure Leon said before, it's an 80-minute thing. And so, that game that you were in was an 80-minute performance.
Yeah, Leon, in that international, you guys went in at halftime with the lead. What was the feel? Was it time, or let's hope this game just finishes? Or was it, let's not only go on with it, let's push the foot down on the throat, so to speak?
Well, I think we, the St. Helens boys, which are a lot in that team at the moment, we've just come off the back of a grand final win. A season, probably the best season of his careers for most of us. So we were full of confidence, full of beans. They were missing, I think they were missing a good scrum half. They were missing like a Thurston or, you know, a top level scrum half at the time. We were really confident within ourselves. So we were looking forward to it. We were looking forward to the challenge of the next half. And we knew if we stuck to his game plan and keep hold of the ball, we had a good chance of winning the game. So we were very, very confident at that time.
You know, there's loads to discuss before about the Four Nations and coming to this back end. There are a couple of other games that took place. New Zealand narrowly beat Samoa 14-12. A bit of a scare from New Zealand's point of view. I think in the post-match interviews, they seem to come across quite disappointed, but understand and being respectful to Samoa because they do that and they have performed well during this tournament. I think the other two games that we need to keep an eye on is Wales lost heavily to Ireland, 14-46. The other game in the Four Nations, home nations competition, was a Scotland losing to France, but still qualifying to play in the 2016 Four Nations.
That's crazy. I can't believe.
Well, Richard Agar has called for there should be a final. You know, in the Four Nations down under, there's a final.
But still, if we look how well Samoa have played and narrowly lost to both England and New Zealand, and you'd back them to push Australia all the way in the last game, they really probably deserve to be in the final. And you put Scotland in there, what have Samoa done wrong and why should it be Samoa that drop out and not England, New Zealand or Australia? Whoever finishes bottom for me should drop out, but we all know that's not going to happen. They can't drop out, for example, you know, I mean, is it a money thing? Probably, you know.
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at the French team and knowing a little bit behind the stuff with, you know, what kind of budgets they all had to work with, France have definitely underperformed. You know, I know that they would be going into that, and especially in this competition, they'd have had a big kind of financial incentive to get to those games. And, you know, Scotland and Ireland have trumped them. So, do the RFL, would they have wanted France in there?
I'm not sure if the French boys will have been on a big promise because...
I know the end of last year
they had a big fallout with the French Federation over pay because
I think there's some more to discuss about that actually.
I think,
Robert,
there is some more to discuss. So there's loads to discuss regarding everything, to be honest, and obviously the big match with England and New Zealand coming up this weekend. We're also going to hear from Ryan Hall, James Graham and Sean O'Loughlin and more from tonight's studio guests and the gang. You're listening to Robbie Hunter Paul right here on Pulse One. Stay tuned and we'll be back soon.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Hey, West Yorkshire, Robbie Hunter Paul here. We're talking rugby league every Wednesday evening here on Pulse One. Remember, if you want to get in touch and throw us a question, you can contact us on pulse1.co.uk or on Twitter, just hashtag RHPShow. Now, later on in this little segment, we're going to try and go international and have a phone call with Monty Beathen. For those of you for Wakefield Trinity fans or Wakefield Wildcat fans, you remember him. He played for Wakefield in 2006, former New Zealand and Samoan international. We're going to try and get him on the line. We're very optimistic that that's going to happen. Producer Ewan, he's overly confident.
We have the technology,
we can do it.
We've just got a cup and some string and we're just putting some wax on it all the way over.
What are you trying to say about New Zealand's technology? That was it, cups and strings.
Pretty much, Paul.
Back to the test match, obviously, that happened over the weekend, Australia versus England. We spoke briefly about the tactics from Steve McNamara. One tactic that he did employ that probably surprised quite a lot of us in the rugby league fraternity was dropping Shenton and putting in place Dan Sargentson. How do you think he went? Because to be honest, I was quite impressed.
I thought that was a great move. I thought Shenton had an okay game in the first one, but Sargentson was quality. And you know, as we were saying off air with Leon, he's been a form player this year as Sargentson for Wigan, and I think he should have been starting anyway, personally, but he proved that.
Well, you know, for me, I've been actually quite pleasantly surprised by Sargentson all season long. Now, Leon, obviously you've been playing against him. You were actually saying a few nice things about him in the canteen earlier.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think I'm surprised by his form whatsoever. I've watched him all season and played against him, and to be honest with you, he's been one of Wigan's best players. His fitness levels must be absolutely massive because he carries the ball play two. He's set up for shift plays. He carries the ball all game. He's taking probably 18-20 carries, so he must be so fit, and he's strong. He's breaking tackles, sidestepping, he's doing out balls, little flick passes, and he's improved all season, so I'm really pleased for him. I think he deserves it.
I mean, the try that he set up for Ryan Hall, he was a man for man. They had nothing really to work. They had a two-on-two situation. Ryan Hall was marked up against Sione Mataltia. He was marked up against Dylan Walker. Dylan Walker, a new recruit for the Australian setup, got caught ball watching Matty Smith. Oh, no, sorry, it wasn't Matty Smith. It was Gareth Widdop. Viewing in, and basically when he was caught ball watching Dan Sargentson, stepped on the right foot, outstepped him, skinned him, got the ball, and then did the flick pass. Absolutely straight out of top draw, international class. I was blown away. I didn't know that he had it in his repertoire.
Yeah, well, I watched the game again last night, knowing that we were coming on the show, and obviously I wanted to watch back and see some of the highlights and that. And to be honest, Dan Sargentson looked really good right from the off, and he's got a real good, being a left centre, he's got a real nice, strong left foot step, and he put that on early on in the game.
Yeah,
and
he
I
did.
Think then the centre kind of got in his head, oh, he's got a left foot step, so he's always coming back on the inside shoulder. And then the fact that Dan Sargentson is quite unknown to the Australian contingent and stuff, you know, next thing you know, he comes out thinking he's going to do a left foot step again, and then kicks out and completely skinned him, and he you know, he ultimately made that try.
Leon, obviously, a lot of the England players will be thinking, geez, we should have won that. A lot of people will be talking about how the try there never was. Where do you think the players' heads are going to be up at this point in time?
I think that, to be honest with you, this England setup, the mentality of this team and the players are completely different to back when I played. I think having Sam Burgess, having James Graham over there, having Tomkins over there playing, I think them playing in the NRL week after week and realising that these guys are only human, I think that fills them full of confidence, and I think their confidence will fill the rest of the England team with confidence. So I think they'll be going into this test match this weekend buzzing.
Okay, now we've got the technology, we've tried to make it work. I'm hopeful and optimistic that we actually do have Monty Beathen on the line. Monty, are you there?
I'm here, mate.
Oh, absolutely. Lovely to hear your dulcet tones, brother, from the other side of the world. Obviously, you're very busy this morning. You've got your own radio show that you're doing on radio. Is it Radio Sport? New Zealand, is it?
Live sport radio.
Okay. Mate, what I want to know is, obviously, England are playing New Zealand in Dunedin this weekend. What's the feel from the New Zealand public at this point in time? Are they optimistic, confident going in against England?
They're a little bit nervous, to be honest, because the English side, you know, they've been playing very well. They've led both games at halftime. They went on to win against the Samoan side, which we're seeing now playing very well and pushed to the New Zealand Kiwi side, and we're unlucky not to get the win. And we're sort of a little bit worried about the backlash of the English team, especially after they missed the opportunity of beating an Australian side last week. There's a lot to like about this English side, and I think down there it's very cold at Forsyth Bar. They'll be kicking off at 8:10 New Zealand time. So the cold will suit the English boys, as we know. And I've got to say, there's a lot of great players within the side. I like the look of Daryl Clark, the Super League man of steel, for me. If he plays more minutes, I think behind this big four pack, and which is started by Ryan Hall and what he does to lead off the sets, very exciting stuff for England.
Now, obviously, they're playing in Dunedin. It's not a traditional rugby league home ground. Do you think that's going to play in England's favour? You know, the fact that if you went to Auckland, you'd have a big rugby league community there, Wellington, yeah. Christchurch, big rugby league communities, whereas Dunedin, more of a rugby union heartland.
A very good point. There is no history there. The Kiwis haven't played there before. It's a new stadium. There are mainly rugby supporters there, so we're hoping they're going to get out to support this. The Mad Butcher's been trying to push all the people down there to try and support the Kiwis out in force, because he realises it's going to be a tough ask to get up over this English side who are wanting to exact a bit of revenge from the team that beat them in the semi-final of the World Cup. But, you know, I think it's cold. I think it's going to be somewhat of a neutral feel, so I think England going to feel pretty much at home.
All right, Monty, I thank you very much for giving up your time. I know you. I think the cricket's going on at the moment. You've just stepped out of the studio to be with us this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Monty Beetham, former New Zealand and Samoa international and Wakefield Wildcats player. Cheers, Monty. Thanks again. Boys, back into the studio. Who have been your standout performers for England this during this series?
I mean, you know, just trying to listen into your headphones through the technology that we did have and that, and, you know, Monty was pretty much going on with Ryan Hall. You know, he's been really impressed with him, and, you know, watching the game back, he was just immense. What a big player who's been playing some great rugby, and
I was talking,
confidence,
yeah,
as well.
I was talking, you know, there's been a trend in the past where you see the winger move into second row and then end up as a fullback, as a front rower, sorry. And I was saying to JP and Jamie Peacock and Kevin Sinfield, do you think that Ryan Hall will be one of those players that ends up in the pack? And they both shook their head and said no chance. They said it was a bit like Big Les. No, can do an effort.
Engine will be gone after about 2 minutes.
No dirt.
Three drives, two tackles and get me off.
All right, boys, we've got loads to talk about. Stick with us, ladies and gentlemen, because we'll be back soon to discuss more of the hot topics from the world of rugby league. We'll also be hearing from Ryan Hall, Sean O'Loughlin and James Graham. Stay with us. You're with the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
You're listening to the RHP show with double RP and RSP and LP.
Elroy P.
Actually, I do know your middle name, but we won't say that in public because I know how emotional he gets with it. It's absolutely brilliant as well. We all found it out at his wedding. It's the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, so don't forget, we want your views. Tweet us using hashtag RHP Show. In this section, we're going to be discussing all of the hot topics from this weekend and last weekend. So everything's really focused around the Four Nations Down Under. Before we go any further, let's hear the interviews with Ryan Orr, Sean O'Loughlin and James Graham.
That's a try.
What a call coming up here. If this is a try, then Gareth Widdop has an opportunity to knock Australia out of the contest.
I knew I touched it, but I didn't want to make a song and dance about it because I didn't see myself touch it. So I don't know if it was on the floor or not. Looking at the video, I'd say it was a try. We play Super League rules, so in Super League that's a try, but obviously it wasn't to be. So we've got the task next week to do.
For me, it looked like he touched it and the ball was touching grass, so I don't know. Most of the boys thought it was a try, but by that, there was probably other parts of the game as well, what cost us a little bit. Some of the tries when they got a roll on us in the second half was part and parcel of that, but yeah, it looked from where we was like it was a try.
I'm not sure what the situation will be. Probably get dealt when we go to New Zealand, but we've just got to go there and get the win. And I guess it's a massive week for us.
If we want to be involved in the final, that's the way we're going to have to do it now. You know, they're a strong side. They turned the Aussies over last week. And, if we want to get it now, we're going to have to do it tough.
I mean, there you hear there, the boys, they're pretty confident that it was a try, but they've also sort of resigned themselves to the fact that, you know what, it wasn't given a try, so we just got to move on with it. That's the right mentality to have going into these games, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can't do nothing about it now. I think they'll have taken great confidence that the scoreline was so close, especially some of the drubbings that we've taken in Australia in the past. So, like you say, be professional, move on. Listen, we didn't do the job. We came close. It wasn't given. You've got to get on with the game and move on from there.
All right. One of the hot talking points, I guess, for the early part of this week is Steve McNamara. McNamara has announced the exact same team that started against Australia in the weekend. Is this a good thing, a bad thing? I don't know. Discuss.
I think, you know, he's got his team and he wants to keep him going because they're the ones that are going to smart from that loss. They've all been in that together. They only just narrowly lost out to Australia. But I think, you know, we have been talking and discussing what was going to happen before off-air, and Elliot Whitehead, for me, has got to be included in that squad. You know, I know he's an ex-player of Leon's.
I mean, Leon, you know Elliot quite well. What do you think that he can bring to this England team, especially taking into account what they're going up against in New Zealand?
Well, I'm very biased because I'm one of Elliot's good friends, and he lived with me when I moved when he came to France, and he's a Bradford lad, which is a bonus. And I think he should definitely 100% be in the team. If a player's been playing on top form for a full season and they're full of confidence, which is a big thing in rugby league, is confidence, and you're playing at the peak of your game, then you're only gonna bring something really special to a team. And he's got a fantastic offload, right hand offload, big fend, can jump high in the air to catch
high
kicks.
He's a big thing as well, isn't
he?
He's
got about 106 kilos, putting a little bit of weight since he's come over to France, and he's been having three course meals every day, French baguettes and wine with every meal. But yeah, all joking apart, in my opinion, he should definitely be in the 17.
Okay, who would you leave out then?
Well, I don't really like to really say, and I like to sit on the fence because you don't really want to say somebody's not deserving of the.
Is it because you've got to play against them next year?
No, because I'm a player. And if another player sat here and said, oh, well, I don't think Leon Price should be in the team, and I think, well, you're a bit out of order, aren't you? So I don't like to say that myself. So all I'd say is he should be in the team.
Okay, well, we'll leave it to these two because these two don't have to play against him. Ryan.
Ryan's never played against anyone anyway.
Ryan can say what he wants.
Under 14's most improved player.
Steggies.
We'll get to that later.
Who would you leave out?
I think it's a case of Stay
Who do you think? Actually, I want you to represent the fans' voice here.
Yep.
Well, I agree. Whitehead in, Joe Burgess in, leave Charnley out, leave Joel Tompkins out.
Whoa.
But I think stay tuned because he's named his 17.
Yep.
He named it last time and changed it 2 days before the game. I actually think if Steve McNamara's on-field tactics are as good as his off-field tactics, England will beat New Zealand because
it was clever stuff.
What he did with the squad last time, named the same team, and then a couple of days before the game, oh, hang on a minute, Dan Sargeant's in. As Leon touched on, Australia know nothing about Dan Sargeant.
Okay, why leave it? I mean, Rob, do you agree with that, Joel Tompkins and Josh Charnley?
Yeah, I probably think I do. I think, you know,
remember, you don't have to play against
them.
No,
I don't. And to be honest, you know, it's not speaking bad of them. I'm not saying they're bad people, but Leon touched on it before. Confidence is massive in rugby, and you know, knowing that Elliot Whitehead's had a great season, looking at Dan Sargeantson as a kind of as a framework of what's happened, you know, they probably don't know a lot about, you know, Dan Sargeantson. They probably don't know a lot about Elliot Whitehead, but Elliot Whitehead's been coming in and he's been playing some great rugby. And to be honest, when you're a young lad, you go and make a name for yourself. I know Elliot's made his name in you know, obviously at Bradford and then in Super League and over at Catalan.
Yeah. What else are we saying to our young players, right? Okay, listen, you can play the game, you can break into first team, you can have the season of your life, be the best player in your position in the competition. You can get picked in the dream team, you can then get picked in the international team, but then you're not going to be given a chance. That's what message is sending for me. At the moment, is if you have the season of your life, you're in top form, then you're not getting rewarded by your selection at the end of the day.
I think Leon's right in the sense that Joel Tompkins has come back from rugby union and he's had a mini pre-season with Wigan. Yeah. He's played a couple of months.
To me, he looks a little lean. For a rugby league player in that position, he looks a little lean. I think he needs to put on some timber.
Is this Steve McNamara playing safe? As we touched on, there's a lot of pressure on this game. Where does his future lie if it goes wrong, for example? Does he just...
What does the rest of the panel think? Do you think that if he does not get a win this weekend, obviously that'll be England knocked out of the competition, do you think he will survive?
In a nutshell, no.
I'll say yes.
You think he will survive?
I think the calls from all the players and by the sounds is that they love the camp, they love the way it's set up, and they love the atmosphere that is bringing around and what have you. So I think he'll survive, mate.
But you know, it's a results-driven industry, and a lot of the time it doesn't come from the players; it actually comes from the terraces. And there was a bit. I mean, I quite like Steve's approach to things. It's very scientific, engaging with the. Loughborough, for example.
I'm just going to throw this one out there. I forgot all about this. It's just come into my brain. I've heard that Sean Wayne's name's been passed about for this job as well. It's not far off. So I'll just put that out there.
You heard it here first.
I think it could be a case of Steve might actually resign if they don't win this game. Has anyone thought about that? I mean, the whole when he came into the job, all the talk was about the 2013 World Cup, winning it and making the final, being the absolute base kind of. Got to do that. They didn't do that. I know they lost to New Zealand in the last minute, which Robbie will be delighted about. Sean Johnson, bro. But he literally, that was what was supposed. I'm surprised he actually survived after the World Cup. Now, if they don't make the final of this tournament, where have we got to in 12 months? I agree with Leon. He will be still in the job, and I think he'll do the next World Cup, and that may be after that. But should he be in the job? I'm not so sure unless they win or get to the final.
I think, Steve's had a bit of a tough time with the media himself, though, hasn't he? So, probably listen to what Ryan's saying. Will Steve McNamara resign for the good of England? Because, he's doing his own stuff over in Australia, and maybe he could resign.
Well, as we know, when you're in the game and you're deep within the game, you do not listen to the media. That's one of the things, it's one of the number one rules. Yeah, if the media are giving him stick or what have you.
But he has reacted to it quite poorly in the past, hasn't he? And I think, taking into consideration the World Cup and stuff, he did react poor to some of the situations, and that may be a catalyst for him resigning.
I just think that the RFL are looking to create an environment where people are looking forward to playing for England and looking forward to playing for Great Britain, which has not happened in the past. It's been a bit dodgy. When I were there, people want happy in camp and people leaving and coming home. And I think what they wanted is to create an environment.
And there were sounds that they used to get very clicky if you play for this club, you stay very clicky. That's not the general feel that you get.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's what the RFL have wanted, and that's what Steve McNamara has brought into place. And I think that comes before the results, in my opinion, for the RFL. Not for the fans, not for us who obviously want England to win. They want the setup, the system to be a good environment for people to learn and to talk and to have a good culture within the group.
I think he's done a good job of making it like a club. And I wasn't a lover of the England thing, and I'm still kind of not so sure about it, but it does feel more like a club. Then Great Britain seemed like here's the red and the blue. Just go out there and fight like...
And I've got to admit, my experience at international level, you've got to be ready to go to war with your brothers.
Yeah, exactly.
When you do have that sort of buy-in, that's when you're going to be successful. So I truly do understand that. Coming up next, we're going to continue to focus the spotlight on the Four Nations Internationals. So don't go anywhere. You're with Robbie Hunter-Paul on Pulse 1.
The Robbie Hunter-Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit. Super League, Championship, NRL, Challenge Cup. Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show here on Pulse 1. So, as we've been chatting about it all night, this Saturday morning, kickoff at 7 a.m. England face off against the mighty New Zealand Kiwis in an untraditional rugby league city, Dunedin, in the indoor Forsyth Bar Stadium. Now, it's indoor, it's completely glass, there's no retractable roof. So Monty Beetham was saying actually it's a bit colder down in Dunedin, which it is. It's like being in Scotland, but it is indoor. So I think that'll take a bit of a bite off it. Now, what a lot of yous at home won't be listening to, these guys have just been going for it off air. I've never seen you guys so animated. So much to talk about in regards to coaching, who's in, who's out, what would Sean Wayne bring to the whole setup if it was, would it change the structure? I love it. It's inspiring.
I think we've bought into the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
Absolutely.
It's only taking you, 3 months?
3 months.
September, October.
And
it's
only
November now.
Overpaid.
3 months and overpaid.
Overpaid, underworld.
Nothing in life's for free, gentlemen. We know that. Leon, you played against the mighty New Zealand Kiwis. We're going to call them the mighty New Zealand Kiwis whenever we mention them from now on. What do you expect from them? Obviously, your years, the Kiwis are known for their, stylish, fluent play. What do you expect from the Kiwis this weekend?
I think similar to what I talked about with the England team, I think the New Zealand team have been growing in confidence year after year after year, getting more players playing in NRL teams and working against all the Australians week after week. And they realise that these Aussies are not, they're not everything they're made out to be. And this New Zealand team now, if you look at it, I say it's at the best it's been for a very, very long time.
So you're saying that I think there is a tradition in rugby league circles outside of the NRL to actually build the Australian international team up a lot more than what they are.
Absolutely.
They're not superhuman. They're not undefeatable. They can be beaten.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think now the Kiwis are showing that now. Every time they play the Australians, they're very close to beating them. And last time, I think they gave them a good smashing last game, didn't they? So
they did, yeah.
This is going to be a tough game.
I mean, there were three tries that were disallowed. One of them, I was 100% was his try. Another try that if they, with Tohu Harris went through on the edge, we had a 3-on-1. I mean, I know all these plays play by play. I relive them, but there could have been four tries that have scored extra on top of that against Australia.
This is a dangerous game.
New Zealand and the Warriors fly in Daryl Halligan to work with Sean Johnson for goal kicking every month, and they've been doing that for the last 2 years. So they take it extremely seriously.
Let's not forget, though, if we do lose to New Zealand, it's not all over. If Samoa come up with a big win over Australia, which, given what I've seen,
well,
is possible,
yeah, there is
it's
that.
Not all over yet.
We
could coast into the final and then because beat the Kiwis when it really matters.
People should just remember, this is one of the best Kiwi teams in a while, and I reckon that these guys are more dangerous than Australia, and this is going to be a really, really tough game.
Okay, well, that game last weekend, again, that close win over Samoa last weekend, do you think that's a good thing for England or a bad thing?
Which one? The New Zealand
close win over Samoa. I think that's a boost for England. 75th minute.
That's a boost for England. We were really ripping into England. Anyone who was an England fan was like, oh, we've let ourselves down. We've only beat Samoa by 4 points or 6 points or whatever it was. To then watch New Zealand, who have been penned in as favourites all of a sudden,
show them enough respect. They've got players like Joey Leilua,
didn't take them seriously,
Dave Fa'alongo, Mossy Massoi, some absolutely brilliant world class players. Frank Pritchard, who, for my mind, should still be playing for New Zealand.
It's bad news for us in terms of, I think Australia are going to really step it up now for a game against Samoa, where perhaps they might not have. If they were already in the final, they maybe take it easy, coast.
I mean, you are right. If England lose to New Zealand, but only if they lose to, but New Zealand will only get in if they lose to Samoa. For England to secure their place in the final, they need to beat New Zealand by 9 points to guarantee that position. Wow. So, do you think they're nine points better?
No.
If you look at the results, you'd say probably not. But as an English person and an ex-England player, I'd like to. To have all the confidence that I could have within the boys, and I think they could get the job done.
All right, of that New Zealand, mighty New Zealand Kiwi team, who are the players to watch?
For me, obviously, always Manu Vatavai. He's a beast. He's like watching Leslie Vine, another version of Leslie Vine Nicola. So for me, I always enjoy watching him play. He's an absolute beast, isn't he?
And he's a try-scoring machine for the New Zealand Warriors as well, isn't he?
Yeah, it's just enjoyable to watch. Obviously, playing with Les for so many years, you get used to seeing that big rampaging winger gets the ball and carrying people with him, and I enjoy watching him.
Yeah, I'd agree with Lee on that, but I think Jason Nightingale Brew and Sean Johnson Brew. No,
that's the worst New Zealand accent ever in the history
of
all.
We've been doing it all day to try and make him smile. The Murfield Mafia, but Kevin Proctor has been doing really well, and he's scored. He's looked real strong.
He's really matured, hasn't he, over the last couple of years?
Yeah, like
Kevin
a cheddar
Proctor.
Cheese. But he's definitely kind of he's hitting some really good lines over.
Would you say his cheddar's bitter?
It's
one of your poor raps.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's. Yeah, no, but he's as long as we tread carefully.
Would you also agree? I mean, one of the things that I like about the New Zealand team, and actually I think he's probably the best halfback in the competition, is Sean Johnson.
Yeah.
He can turn on a dime. He can turn the game on its head. He's the closest thing we've had to
Stacey Jones. Stacey.
I think, in the front row. Leon said this is the strongest New Zealand team for years, and I think New Zealand are only strong at this level when they have that awesome scrum half. Yeah, they've always had decent
wingers.
What about
Kieran Foran, though? Kieran Foran's been absolutely awesome.
He's like the captain, though. He sort of moves the squad around and everything.
You need that.
You've got that X factor.
He's playing good.
Johnson's the player. Okay, so what do England need to do to win this game?
I think
they've
got to score more tries, but if we kick more goals, that's not the only thing.
To be honest, I know when they played Samoa last week, I'm getting there now, but they fronted up and they got physical with them. And when New Zealand played Australia, New Zealand were really strong, weren't they? Really physical. And I don't think they like that physicality back from what Samoa give them, Samoa. So I know with the Burgess boys and Graham and all that. Coming off a bit, they might have some confidence.
So do you think
part
of it is just get into the ribs.
Good old-fashioned rugby.
New Zealand's always been known as one of the biggest teams in rugby league.
Yeah.
And for the first time, you probably argue that they've... I was an exception to the rule.
Lord Farquhar.
They're probably, at this point in time, you would argue that they've been they could be out-muscled by the England pack, at least.
England should
Chris Hill, the two Burgess boys, and James Graham, I mean... that's a front row to die for. That is an awesome foursome.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think they need to get in the faces, play real physical, and, you know, you said, you know, the games at Dunedin and stuff. I know that's nowhere near Whakatane, bro, but that's going to be a really kind of, you know, let's get up into them, into the faces, and really give them a good 20 minutes and play out to them, and then Darryl Clark comes in, zips up, and then plays off the back of them.
And then put
forwards.
Ryan Hall in at prop.
They're not the same with
us. So I move Ryan all up to prop.
Yeah.
I've already got an awesome foursome.
I'll put my CV in if Steve McJack's.
You would probably agree with me then that they also have to play for the full 80 minutes. There was an argument that they shut up shop in the second half to try and get the game finished and done with.
Yeah, obviously, but that's not the case for all test matches. You've got to play for the full 80 minutes, and it's something that England have been guilty for numerous years of not playing to the last minute and getting caught out like we did at Wembley last year. So yeah, we've definitely got to play for 80 minutes.
Do you think, you know, that England have got a bit of a bad mentality in the fact that New Zealand beat them last kind of play of the game a couple of, you know, last year? Do you think, you know, obviously they've now lost the game with not long to go against Australia? Could the mentality side of it be an issue?
Well, I think that's something that potentially will play its part. Guys, we could sit in the studio and talk on forever and ever. Yeah. I got to admit, we've come to the end of the show, though. So that's it for this week. My thanks to Monty Beathen, Sean O'Loughlin, James Graham and Ryan Hall, our studio guest Leon Price, the gang, my main man Double RP and Bro Ryan, and to all of you for listening at home tonight. Make sure that you join us next Wednesday, because we'll be back to talk about this game that we've been talking about this evening. Total Access is next here on Pulse One. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul. Thank you for listening, and we'll speak to you next week. Enjoy your radio and enjoy your rugby.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One. The Robbie Hunter-Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit.